You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I am very happy to be joined by our next guest. His name is Mike Vernon. He has been the best college football insider, in my opinion, in regards to the University of Kansas. Whether it was Jeff Long, whether it was Les Miles, now he is at the forefront of Kansas potentially joining the Big Ten. He has been absolute nails when it comes to his reporting in the University of Kansas. Mike Vernon joins us on the show today. Mike, it's an honor to have you on today, man.
Man, it's an honor to be on. Longtime fan, happy to be here.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Let's just start with this. What is the vibe? What is the tenor around the University of Kansas in the midst of everything that's going on right now in conference realignment?
I'll tell you what. Can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear.
Beautiful. All right, I'll tell you what. In the last 30 minutes or so, the vibe has started to change on my end. I was all prepared, had all my facts ready to go for you. There's been these rumors all day that KU is headed toward the Big Ten. I kind of dismiss it as message board fodder. I'm starting to hear it from some people who I consider to be pretty reliable, that this thing is imminent. I'm not ready to say it for sure, but I'll tell you what, there's some smoke coming out of Lawrence right now.
When you say imminent, are we talking about this week, next couple weeks?
I would say next couple weeks, maybe by next week. I'm trying to work on getting this thing 100%, but I think it's enough where I'm talking to you about it right now.
Okay, so we're getting a little bit of breaking news here. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I can't quite all in on it because I'm trying to cross-confirm and get it from multiple people. I'm not running with anything totally yet. The rumor mill is pretty wild. I'll say all along, Kansas has been, or people around KU have been very confident, like weirdly so. You would think that this could be reason to panic for some people. That's not been the case, and it's almost like when I talk to people, it's almost like they know something that I don't. That's the kind of confidence I'm getting, like there's a smirk involved, and I can't quite figure it out, but the general vibe all along has been KU is going to be all right. And part of that is, you know, I think the ACC also maybe was going to be home for him, but I'm trying to track this down right now. We definitely have some chatter about the Big Ten.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like Kansas is potentially trending towards the Big Ten. Maybe that's the way that we could say it. I don't want to make your report for you, but it sounds like they're trending towards joining the Big Ten.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the confidence thing, I've been like, am I getting lied to? But I think this is moving in a direction that KU fans would be happy about. Certainly, I have the KU perspective on things, but try to filter that down as much as I can. Kind of wild that this has been, you know, this all came from some UT message board insider, which I hate to go off of. But it has not gone away, and I've tried to shoot it down, so... stay tuned. Keep following me on M_Vernon. We're going to figure this thing out for real.
So right now we're talking to Mike Vernon. He has been at the forefront of college football reporting in regards to the University of Kansas. Can you give us the backstory on how this deal has potentially come together? Is this something that's come together really in light of Texas or Oklahoma? Is this something that maybe was kind of sitting in the background and Kansas had immediately come to action? Like, if this thing happens, let's say by the end of August, it took Oklahoma and Texas almost a year behind the scenes to eventually end up making that move. This sounds like it has come together a lot more rapidly.
Well, that's why, you know, I think that's a great point, and that's why I was really hesitant until, again, in the last 30 minutes or so to really believe this at all. You know, I would say this. When KU was hiring an athletic director, I know for a fact that conference realignment was a huge factor in who they went with. That this had been on, I would say, the powers that be, the powers in play here behind the scenes. Big money, chancellor, board of regents, I don't know. It was on their mind, without a doubt. And so this makes me think that they've known that this was coming, maybe had something in place. But, you know, I think the speed at which Texas and OU made this decision surprised everyone. So that I think, was the big shocker. I would say that, again, I think KU was working to prep for this. And last time realignment came around, they were woefully underprepared, and I don't think that was going to happen again.
Right now,
we're not going to let that happen again.
No, completely understandable, and it leads me to my next question. We're talking to Mike Vernon right now about Kansas potentially joining the Big Ten. So earlier today, we saw that the Big 12 and Bob Bowlesby were talking to the Pac-12 about potentially having some alliance, and I actually led the show with it today. At this point, I wouldn't follow any plan that Bob Bowlesby says. If you got a chance to get a nice landing spot and you got a chance to go to a conference you know is stable, you know that makes sense geographically for you, you'd have natural rivals with Iowa and Nebraska and potentially Iowa State here in the upcoming years, you got to take that and you got to say to hell with whatever plan that the Big 12 is putting together. So from a geographical standpoint, from a competition standpoint, from a conference standpoint, this would be the only move for Kansas to me.
Yeah, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of KU's athletic director, chancellor, anyone. I mean, it's just common sense that they're going to jump on this. Otherwise, if KU, you know, sticks around with the other eight schools, goes to this like Pac-12 agreement where they agree to schedule each other or something, which I was told by someone reliable that this was a viable scenario, but it's not option one. You know, in 10 years, when maybe these conferences try to break off from the NCAA or more merging happens, KU is going to be in the exact same position. So if you're in charge now and you have an opportunity, it's a no-brainer to take it. It just, you know, and I would say also one other source told me that yesterday that this was all very early. Well, again, that tune has been changing here over the last 24 hours, 30 minutes even. It got really quiet, and then finally something started to trickle out. So I'm pretty excited right now. Wish I could go all the way in, but I think this is definitely something to watch. But yeah, if you're the chancellor, you're not taking any chance on some Bob Bowlesby aligned Big 12, Pac-12 scheduling agreement. It doesn't make any sense long term. I think it could keep, again, things viable, but you're not setting yourself up for success.
I understand that it's a report, so maybe it's irresponsible to hypothesize, but that's kind of what we do here on Sports Talk Radio. What do you think has been the biggest change to maybe push this through over the last day or so? Because I follow you pretty closely on Twitter, and you seemed a little bit, I don't know if hands off is the right term, but you didn't know if it was maybe moving as quickly as people thought. Based on this conversation, it sounds like we could be talking about in the next 14 days that it has sort of moved on and Kansas is formally applying to join the Big Ten. What do you think has really got this ball moving where now we're in hyperdrive?
Yeah, my tune is changing for sure. I was saying KU people are quiet. They're saying this is early in that they were confident. That's just been my story the whole time through this process. What changed? You know, maybe just the opportunity is there. You know, that I don't totally know, again, as I'm trying to kind of crack this entire code. I think there's some more info to be had. I don't think the whole story's coming. And my one fear is that this rumor from, you know, UT message boards, which is now popping up across the internet, has just become a giant circle of information, and it's gone back to some reliable people. I don't think it's totally out of the question, which is why I want to keep digging in here, but it's starting to come from more reliable circles than just message board fodder, which is why I felt comfortable discussing it. What changed? Not totally sure, but I think this has probably been in the cards for a while.
Last couple questions here, Mike, and I appreciate your time. And if you don't have the answers to this, I certainly understand. What do you think happens to Kansas State, where we're seeing right now a conversation with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State about doing what's best for the state, doing what's good for the other university in your state? That didn't really seem to matter that much to Oklahoma. Based on what you're saying, it doesn't really seem like it's going to matter that much to KU. What do you think happens to K-State?
Yeah, I was told also right away when all of this started to go down that KU would absolutely operate in the best interest of the university. And I took that as basically like they're not going to be committed to keeping K-State around. I don't know what's going to happen to K-State. I do think that, you know, you either have two state universities getting left out or you have one. That might be your option. And so what really hurts the state, you know, sending Kansas to the Big Ten is a pretty great academic conference there. I don't think that that's a net negative. I have a hard time seeing Kansas State, you know, being that attractive. I'm not sure exactly what they bring. You know, certainly the football program's fine, but you're not really selling tickets or having too many, you know, I don't think it's the most exciting streaming name. So I'm not sure where they end up. I have not heard them come up in any of these talks. And I've thought all along that the Big Ten or ACC was pretty likely for KU. And even this like Pac-12 idea is viable, but again, it's not option one here for things in Lawrence. So I can more speak to that than I can to K-State. But if you're drafting Big 12 teams, they're probably toward the bottom.
Last thing here, what do you think happens to the conference? So we let off this talking about Bob Bowlsby's plan to sort of unite with the Pac-12. There is no plan of the eight moving as a block and a unit. If Kansas is going to leave, I assume Oklahoma State will figure out somewhere to land, whether it's the Pac-12 or potentially the ACC. I think Oklahoma State certainly has some brand cachet. They're a good enough football program. They got the right money behind them. Oklahoma State, I think, is going to figure out a place to land. I don't know when it comes to Texas Tech. I don't know when it comes to Baylor. I don't know when it comes to Iowa State, if they're going to be able to land in the ideal conference that they want to be. What do you think happens to the Big 12 as we move forward here in the next 12 months?
I think the most likely scenario for the vast majority of these teams is some kind of piecemeal conference group that's been put together where you pluck a couple of decent schools in the area. There are still some decent brands. Texas Tech, you know, certainly has a pretty large alumni base. We forget that Baylor just won the national championship in basketball. Like, did that even happen? It's kind of bizarre to me. TCU has the Dallas market. I think there's enough there for some kind of haphazard conference. That's my best guess, is that, you know, again, I've been playing this pretty low-key until just now. My guess is that they'll put something together to try to keep it going. Or, you know, Tech is probably out there trying to get itself in the Pac-12 as hard as it can. But it's some kind of, you know, U of H, Cincinnati, SMU. That's just a contiguous, though, along with some of these remaining 7-8 schools.
And that is Mike Vernon. He has been at the forefront of college football reporting when it comes to the University of Kansas. He is saying that it sounds imminent, and it is certainly moving in the direction. The momentum is heading that way, that Kansas could potentially join the Big Ten in less than a month. Mike, always appreciate your reporting, man. Really appreciate you hopping on with us today. Thanks a lot.
You're the best. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That's Mike Vernon joining us on the show today. Big time news there, Rob. You are a KU fan. I said this at the very beginning of the show. I'll say it again now that we have this information. If you're Kansas and you could pick the ideal conference for you to join, you would join the conference that it would appear they are going to join. If you're the Big Ten, it makes all the sense in the world why you would want Kansas. You get the Kansas City television market, which you've dabbled in a little bit, but now I would say you get the institution. As much as it pains me to say as a Missouri fan, the college for Kansas City, Missouri, and this area is the University of Kansas. They have a larger alumni base, a larger fan base that lives in Kansas City than Missouri does. So that's a plus. You also get a marquee basketball program that a lot is made of the Big Ten football, and understandable. You got Ohio State, you got Michigan, you got Penn State, you got big time football. But we somewhat, I think, disregard the Big Ten as a basketball conference as a whole, and so much of it's been about the Big 12 and been about the ACC. We're now talking about a conference that has Michigan basketball program really strong, Ohio State's basketball. You have Indiana and the history that they have. You add a school like Kansas. We're talking about a really, really good conference. I don't think it's the SEC, at least when it comes to football. But if you want to talk about maybe being a little bit more well-rounded, certainly a better basketball conference, you can compete on the field when it comes to football, the Big Ten with the addition of Kansas would make a lot of sense. I understand that we all would like for the Big 12 to stay together. I think we are all starting to realize that's not realistic anymore. And the T-Mobile Center, or whatever they're calling that place, they might be hosting the American Athletic Conference. Maybe they'll get the Big Ten Conference Tournament once every 8 years, and they'll be part of the rotation. But the Big Eight, the Big 12, the Southwest Conference, as we know it and grew up with, that conference is about to die. So it is either eat or be eaten. Missouri chose to eat. Nebraska chose to eat. Some of these universities, they ain't going to have the choice to eat or be eaten because no one wants them the way that they want you. We have now seen if a conference hands you a life raft and says, come with us, you don't wait to see what the plan is. You need to make that move and join the conference. If this is what ends up happening for Kansas, and I 100% believe and trust Mike Vernon's reporting and sourcing, I think he has been the best when it comes to this level of reporting when it comes to the University of Kansas. That would be the best possible outcome this decade for the University of Kansas.
If Mike Vernon is right, and I believe you, he has been very, very good on realignment. Very good. If you're a KU fan, non-KU fan, just a person in the area, you need to follow him on Twitter because he is Scoopmaster General. If his sourcing is correct, and he did throw a lot of qualifiers on there, which understandably so, there's still a lot of work to be done. It's not just all said and done, overdone, no matter what. If that's true and KU's heading the Big Ten, then, I mean, great for KU, elite for KU, because now you're heading to the Big Ten. But what he said there at the end is what is finally interesting to me, that he felt like the Board of Regents did not think KU and K-State had to go together. Thus, if his reporting is correct and his sourcing is correct and KU to the Big Ten is imminent, that's great for me, the KU fan. That's great for the Big Ten. The Big Ten will be at an odd number. I don't foresee a world in which the Big Ten sticks at an odd number. You got to figure they're going to bring a partner in this as well. They did last time realignment. Remember, they brought Maryland and Rutgers. They brought Nebraska and who was the other team they brought on the other side? Doesn't matter. So Kansas comes in. Oh, they lost someone. That's how it worked out. It doesn't matter. Kansas comes in. Kansas State isn't per se a guarantee to be their partner. I wonder who else the Big Ten gobbles up and what that means for Kansas State.
Text line 913-576-7610. What if the Big Ten took KU, K-State, Iowa State, West Virginia, while the remaining four go to the Pac-12? Talk about this, C-Dot. K-State fan, I'm going to say this, and I mean this as respectfully as I can say it. Nobody wants you. There is no package in which you are included in. I'm not saying that you're not going to end up in a good conference. You probably will. At some point, the American Athletic Conference will be looking to add teams, and you'll be in a completely new conference that you'll be one of the better programs in with a great history and a proud fan base. But if we can identify that conference realignment is about television ratings, what got Missouri to the SEC is their connection to St. Louis, which is a major television market, their connection to Kansas City, which is another major television market, and being the only Division I football program in a state. That mattered to the SEC. That's what got Missouri chose. Nebraska, they don't have the major television market, but Nebraska football is a brand. It means something. It has national cachet. And if you're a football company, adding a team that has a national brand to your television package is incredibly valuable. K-State, You don't add anything from a television standpoint to these conferences. Lubbock, Texas, you don't add anything. So those are the schools that are eventually going to have to get the leftovers, to be completely honest with you about it. I mean this with no shade towards K-State. But I said this last week, what is happening to K-State is the epitome of American big business. This is something that at our core we have all signed up for. You know what's happening right now to K-State? The big companies are pushing out the little companies. The big corporations are pushing out the mom and pop stores. Amazon is coming to your town and your Uncle Fred's general store is about to close. Walmart is coming to town and your little boutique bridal shop is closing down. That's what's happening here with Kansas State. It sucks. It's unfortunate. It makes living in Kansas City just a smidgen worse because college athletics, which is a big deal in this part of the country, are going to be very fragmented. But that's what's happening here. There's not a scenario in which K-State is joining the Big Ten. There's not a scenario in which K-State's joining the Pac-12 or the ACC or the SEC. They don't want you. I know it sucks. It sucks right now to see all your friends going to the prom and now you're at home playing Fortnite, but that's probably how this story is going to end. Rob, I really don't mean this toward any shade towards our K-State brethren. You know I love K-State. Ema, I consider us to be on the same team. But you're not getting selected for this Sadie Hawkins dance. That's not how this story ends for you if you're Kansas State. Kansas is going to get chose. Kansas is prettier than you. They got a much greater foothold in Kansas City, and they have arguably the greatest basketball program in college sports right now. That's going to get them selected. That's going to get them selected really fast. Let's say that this happens with what Mike Vernon says. And Kansas can find an ideal landing spot in a month. This conference realignment stuff that just really got started up, we ain't been doing this for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. This stuff just started. Mike Vernon just came on the show and said he thinks that we could have a deal in place in the next 2 weeks. Kansas found a home in less than a month. Somebody wants Kansas. They're a very valuable asset and brand to acquire. I just don't look at K-State that way. I don't think that conferences look at K-State that way. It's unfortunate, but that's also the position that you guys find yourself in.
I obviously am a KU fan, so I'm not going to sit here and, you know, sing the praise of K-State because it would ring hollow. But one thing I can see, I continue to see on the text line every time we talk about conference realignment from K-State fans is the same thing. Our football team's not an embarrassment. We have a better fan base. Our infrastructure is better and so on and so forth. And those things are all true. Your football facility is nicer than KU's. No one's going to argue that. Your fan base when it comes to football definitely loves KU more than KU loves football. No one's going to argue that. And you know what? You are a better football program than KU, but you're not close enough to get the Kansas City market. And the other thing with this round of conference realignment, which I think is different than the last round was more about media markets. I think this round is all about streaming and eyeballs. And for better or worse, in this area and across the country, when Kansas basketball plays a game, if you put on ESPN Plus, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, ESPN 2, whatever, if you put a basketball game on your network, it's going to get eyeballs beyond just this area. It is one of the bigger brands in college sports, Kansas basketball. So K-State fans, I get what you're saying about football, but it's not about football. It's about eyeballs. And your eyeballs, your games are your fans at the game. No one in a random city in this town is watching to see Deuce Vaughn and Skylar Thompson play against Iowa State. I'm sorry. But if you on December whatever, KU plays Harvard in basketball and it games on ESPN, someone from North Carolina will sit down and watch because Kansas is an established brand. They might be watching a hate watch and hope that team loses, but they're watching. And that's what matters in conference realignment is eyeballs.
Text line 913-576-7610. You guys play corn farming and tractor commercials during K-State games. No conference wants that. All right, now, come on. I got to stand up right now, and I got to protect K-State. They didn't do nothing to warrant this. Our K-State brethren right now are going through it. Missouri's in a nice, shiny conference. It appears Kansas is going to go to a nice, shiny conference. it's going to be tough if you're a K-State fan to try to figure out what game that Mountain West football games are on. So you got to give them a little bit. Come on now. Like, you go from playing Texas and Oklahoma, and now you're playing New Mexico State in an important conference game. We got to give K-State a little time to process this. You know, they've always had little brother syndrome. They've always felt inferior to the rest of us. We got to give K-State a little bit of time. I ain't making no farm and tractor jokes about K-State. K-State, you know I'm on your side here. You know I've been an ally for you guys. Coming up on the other side, Rob and I have been playing this game via text for like the last week. We will bring this game to you next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Text line 913-576-7610. Oh boy, another banger of a game, eh? You guys know that's a sensitive subject for me. The last game, I actually really enjoyed it. I've heard great compliments about the game that we came up with the last time. I can't help that we didn't have good contestants. People on the text line now have resorted to comparing K-State to off-brand sodas. And I have to, once again, put my foot down. KU potentially getting in the Big Ten does not mean that now it's open season on K-State jokes. That's not something I'm going to stand for. It's already bad enough that they could potentially be playing La Tech for the Sun Belt Championship on 2 o'clock on a Saturday on ESPN The Ocho. We don't got to keep getting jokes, and that's, come on now. We're a little bit above board when it comes to that stuff on this show. That's not stuff I support, Rob. So Rob and I have been playing this game, and we would like to play this game with you, 913-576-7610. One thing that bonds Rob and I is our love of movies. It bonds Rob and I. We'll just be sitting there, we'll just randomly have a good conversation about a movie. So we have started doing this game where we will text each other a movie, and then we'll go through the cast and have an argument on who had the best career out of those movies. Rob, I have come up with four movies that I want to debate with you. Hit my music, Rob. All right, Rob. I want you to rank the careers of the four stars. Four is pushing it. For 40-year-old version. Seth Rogen, Steve Carell, Paul Rudd, and Jonah Hill, who has a very small cameo.
Stars is... We're not going to put Kevin Hart in that list?
Kevin Hart would actually be a good one.
Cameos are basically the same length of time. Okay, I'm going to say number one is Paul Rudd. That Marvel bag is just different, and he's like one of the most likable actors in Hollywood.
Yo, Marvel is a cheat code for a lot of these people.
100% is.
An absolute cheat code. I will say this, though. I know you're a much bigger Marvel fan than me. The fact that they made people care about Ant-Man is maybe the most remarkable thing that they've ever done. Like, Marvel's done a lot of cool stuff over the last 15 years. The fact that they made Ant-Man a viable superhero just shows the power of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm really curious on who you think's had the better career, whether Seth Rogen or Steve Carell.
I think two's Jonah Hill, because Jonah Hill got nominated for an Academy Award for Wolf of Wall Street.
I got Jonah last.
Jonah's at two. You're going to catch an award? You're at two. And he also pivoted to dramatic roles. Carell Rogen.
Yeah, I got Jonah last in this group if we're talking about what they did.
We agree on one, right? Paul Rudd's one.
Only because of Marvel.
I mean, that those movies count.
Yeah, only because of Marvel. That's the only reason I would put Rudd as the best career out of these individuals. The only reason I put him. I guess you got to put Paul Rudd because, again, I think Marvel's just the default answer for all of these. I think Steve Carell has to have it because of all these characters. And I would say this even includes Paul Rudd. Steve Carell has a character that's going to live. His character, Michael Scott, on The Office is going to live for the next 50 years. Jonah Hill doesn't have any character like that. Seth Rogen doesn't have any character like that. Neither does Ant-Man. He doesn't have any character that's going to last as long as Michael Scott is. And I think that matters in a conversation like this.
I agree. He doesn't have the thing that's going to last forever. But he got nominated for major Academy Awards. He was nominated for 2 Golden Globes and 2 Academy Awards and a Screen Actors Guild thing. Like, he was really, really good in some really popular movies. Wolf of Wall Street, he was really good in. I know we differ on if Moneyball is really good, but he was really good at Moneyball.
Moneyball's fine. I don't have any issues with Moneyball. I don't love Moneyball the way everybody else does.
That's fair.
It's a good movie. I don't love it.
And he got nominated for an award for War Dogs, which was, I didn't like it, but a lot of people liked War Dogs. You're going to gobble up nominations. You have to be ahead of people on the list. Seth Rogen's only claim to fame is being the most prominent stoner on Earth. That's not two.
What's Jonah Hill's role? Is it super bad? Like, if we're saying, like, all right, this is Jonah Hill's, like, apex mountain, if we're using the argument.
I think it's Wolf of Wall Street.
That's his apex?
That's his apex.
I think it's Superbad.
I wouldn't argue Superbad.
I think Wolf of Wall Street's the best movie that he's in. When I think of Jonah Hill, I do not think of Wolf of Wall Street. I think of Superbad.
That's fine, but it's one of those two. What's Seth Rogen's iconic? And you're right, Steve Carell gets that TV iconic moment. I think movie icon is bigger than TV icon, barring like the 8 super shows that we've seen in the world, which include like Breaking Bad and, you know, Game of Thrones. He's not in that category.
Have you seen War Dogs? The text line is really going up for War Dogs.
I saw War Dogs. I didn't love War Dogs. That was fine, but I don't speak highly about it the way they do, but good for you guys.
Okay, Wedding Crashers. Rank the 4. Bradley Cooper, Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, Rachel McAdams. I do want to point out, no one has come out of the chute nearly as hot as Rachel McAdams. She is in Mean Girls. She is in The Notebook. She is in Wedding Crashers, her first 3 movies. I'll put her first 3 movies up against just about anybody.
I'm going to say one is obviously Bradley Cooper, one with a bullet. I think one's like obvious here. We're not going to argue one, right?
Hold on, let me ask you this. Are we giving Bradley Cooper the nod because he's in another Marvel movie because he's in the voice of Guardians of the Galaxy? Are we giving him on his actual movies?
Actual movies. Because okay. Silver Linings Playbook, elite. American Sniper, fantastic. Those 2 films alone are head and shoulders above anyone else in that listing.
Okay. All right.
And he also gets, I know you don't like the movies, The Hangovers are an iconic group of films. He's the star of those movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
So he's obviously one.
All right, so if we're ranking the 4, you're going Cooper 1. I actually agree with you. I would give Cooper The Hangover. You have to give him that.
Yeah.
American Sniper, Silver Linings Playbook. I'm probably missing one off the top of my head. Yeah, I would give Cooper 1 out of those 4.
I'm going to go Vaughn McAdams Wilson to end it out.
I kind of feel like Vaughn and Rachel McAdams have almost the same career. When they were hot, they were hot, and then it just ended.
Yeah,
then it was over.
2 and 3 is like
Owen negligible. Was like never really hot, though. Owen's like really only hot in this movie, and that was it. I know he's in a couple other movies, but Owen didn't really have a run. Vince had a run. Mm-hmm. Rachel had a run. Owen never really had a run.
Also, the text line, Text line apparently loves Limitless and loves War Dogs.
That's Limitless was not bad.
Limitless, it's probably the same as War Dogs.
See, this is the thing, though. You gotta always look at some movies. Some movies are FX movies. Limitless is a really good Sunday at 2 o'clock FX movie. It's a really good FX movie. I like Limitless. Limitless really comes down to how much you like Bradley Cooper, though. Like, that plot only works if you like the main character.
Also, someone points out, Rachel McAdams, in a Marvel movie, catches that Marvel love.
Oh, someone said I didn't mention A Star Is Born. Yeah, no.
No, there it is, Star Is Born. Yeah, Cooper was one before we knew that.
Is A Star Is Born better than The Notebook? I don't think A Star Is Born is better than The Notebook. It's great. It's not as good as The Notebook.
They're like equal footing, but then the rest of Cooper's IMDb page pushes them over the top.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, rank these four. Movie career. Jamie Foxx, Leonardo DiCaprio, Samuel L. Jackson, Kurt Russell, Django.
Kurt Russell's in Django?
He is.
Are you sure?
I'm sitting here looking at it right now.
Good for him. I do not remember his character in Django at all. Okay, one is DiCaprio. Obvious one. DiCaprio might be one of the most iconic movie stars of the last 30 years. One. I'm going to say, I'm going to say Samuel L. Jackson, Jamie Foxx, Kurt Russell.
Okay.
What's your list on this one? I'm right on one, right? We don't have to argue DiCaprio. He's clearly one.
No, of course. What's the argument for Samuel L. Jackson over Jamie Foxx?
Getting shots up in the gym. Just
He's in every movie, though. Doesn't count. You don't get credit for just being in every movie.
You know what? Wait for it. Marvel bag. He's in the Marvel movies.
We got to play this game and got to do a non-Marvel edition.
He's not only in the Marvel movies. He's in the most popular ones. He's basically only in the Avengers and Iron Man movies. The most popular ones. Nick Fury. He gets the Marvel win.
We all love Samuel L. Jackson. I want to be clear here. What's the last Samuel L. Jackson role you were like, damn, he was good? It's probably Django, right?
Yeah.
Django came out almost 10 years ago. Like, the last movie where you saw Samuel L. Jackson, you were like, he was amazing in that movie.
I'm looking up his IMDb.
Like a decade ago.
I mean, you don't see the Marvel movies. He was good in the Marvel movies, but, like, it's just, you know.
Everybody's good in the Marvel movies.
That's fair. I'm just telling you the deal. All right, let's see. List of his performances.
What was the last movie you saw for Samuel L. Jackson, and you were like, he was great?
God, he is in everything.
I wouldn't even play that game post-2000 for him. Most of his great roles were pre-2000.
No, he's had one post-2000 that were good. You know what? Kingsman. He was great in Kingsman. Kingsman, he was awesome. 2015, but Kingsman. The answer is Kingsman.
Okay. All right. We're putting him ahead of Jamie, though?
Yep.
Someone said he was in Saw. It was all right. I actually hated this Spiral. I hated Spiral. All right. We'll play
this
game.
He's also in the Star Wars movies. Although the bad ones, he's in the Star Wars movies.
Well,
he gets to double up on the Disney bag.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's had a... I would bet there is not an actor who has made more money acting than Samuel L. Jackson. I don't know that to be 100% accurate, but I'm going to guess that there is not a single person that has made more money acting than him. He has not ever turned down a movie. Ever. Under any circumstance, he ever turned down a movie. Someone said Jamie did Miami Vice, so he wins. That movie was terrible. Hated Miami Vice.
What? That's such a bad reasoning by the text line.
I hated Miami Vice. That movie was terrible. We got to have a Colin Farrell conversation, too. Colin Farrell's a very underrated. Very underrated. Coming up on the other side, I am going to give Brett Veach a world of credit. I'll tell you how. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I understand everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Someone on the text line said that Jamie Foxx hasn't been in any good movies, so I don't know really how to move forward talking movies as a family and as a group on the show. I feel very confused on what to do, very conflicted on what to do. Someone said the range on Jamie Foxx. So Rob and I have been playing this game, and we'll move on from it, where I give him a movie and I give him the main characters of the movie, and we then rank who had the best career out of the people in the movie. And we were talking about Django, and it came on who's had the better movie career, Jamie Foxx or Samuel L. Jackson. Someone brought up The Range. I think that's Jamie's best asset as it comes to an actor, that he can make a movie like Ray. He also can be in horrible bosses. Like, Jamie Foxx won best actor. Like, really good. I will say this. I don't know if this is a hot take or not. Maybe other people feel this way. The most underrated movie in the last 10 years is Baby Driver. Rob, I don't know if you've seen Baby Driver or not. Baby Driver is the most underrated movie in the last 10 years. Now, maybe it was properly rated, but then we found out Kevin Spacey was a sicko, so now nobody wants to watch the movie anymore. But Baby Driver is amazing, and Jamie Foxx is really good in Baby Driver. So if you want to watch Baby Driver, just like put your hand over the screen when you're looking at Kevin Spacey and watch the rest of the movie. It's actually a really, really good movie. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So sometimes I think I get the label of being hard and tough on Brett Veach. Now, I certainly have my questions with Brett Veach, and he and I would just build our teams very differently. But I can't argue with his success. He's put together a team that's went to back-to-back AFC championship games. He's won a Super Bowl. He has had a lot of success in his general manager career. You want to know what Brett Veach's best skill is, though? And I would argue that he could be potentially the best at this in the NFL. It seems like this is going to be three consecutive years in which he has found an undrafted player who is going to make their opening night roster. Devin Key is probably going to make this team at safety. I'm looking right now at safety. There's probably five guys for four spots, and I would say even the four spots is not up for grabs. Tyrann Mathieu's making this team. Juan Thornhill's making this team. I would assume Daniel Sorensen's making this team. That's three spots. So it's really two guys fighting for one spot. One's Devin Key. He's an undrafted free agent. The other one is Will Parks, who played for the Denver Broncos. Parks is probably going to get protected and probably be on the practice squad, but I know Devin Key is a name that you guys haven't really heard a whole lot over the last couple of weeks or so. He's been running with the first team. I was there today at Chiefs training camp. He was running with the first team. Last year, Tershawn Wharton out of Missouri S&T Rolla, I believe that's where he's from. Another guy. Colin Saunders was ahead of him. Nadi was ahead of him. All of these guys. Veach found him. He has now played himself into the role of, he played 40% of the snaps last year as an undrafted player. That's a real diamond in the rough find. 2 years ago, if you're Brett Veach, you get Darrell Williams out of Oklahoma. He's certainly been a plus for this organization. And I know you didn't, I guess, technically draft Charvarius Ward. Nobody drafted him. But he was an undrafted guy on the Cowboys roster. You had an asset in Parker Anger that you were ready to move on from. You traded a player that this organization drafted for an undrafted player who had never played before. And now we're talking about, what, year four of Charvarius Ward on this roster? Veach has a clear ability of finding a diamond in the rough. And as we talk about it, the contracts getting bigger and moving forward, being able to find starters at key positions, we're talking about safety, we're talking about running back, we're talking about defensive line. Finding key starters in the way that he found them. Think back to Harrison Butker. Every team in the NFL could have Harrison Butker as their kicker. He was sitting on the Carolina Panthers practice squad, just sitting there, chilling, hanging out, kicking field goals in the back. And Brett Veach found him. So, Rob, I come to you and say, I know that Brett Veach and I haven't always seen eye to eye. I know I get called cornered out on this show, but you know what I'm going to give Brett Veach his flowers for, and I'm going to give his credit for? He is one of the best at the NFL at finding diamond in the roughs, whether it's late in the draft and turning a guy like Snead or a guy like Rashad Fenton or fourth, fifth, sixth, and later round players, or undrafted free agents that can turn around and help this team, and guys you think eventually can get to a second contract. Wharton has a chance to be in the solid rotation for this team. Charvarius Ward has a chance to pick up a second contract from this team. This kid, Devin Key, who's probably going to make the team as a safety coming out of camp, has a chance to really stick with this roster. That's Veach's best ability to me, is making something out of nothing.
I do like that we have very similar opinions on Brett Veach, and no one ever gives me grief about being an anti-Brett Veach guy. You take all those arrows, and I love that. Here's my question, though, as someone who's very much in the same boat as you on Brett Veach, because I agree. He's elite at UDFAs and late-round draft picks. Trey Smith, Charvarius Ward, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tershawn Wharton. Does his greatness in the late rounds and in the undrafted free agency pool undo some of the misses and notable misses he's had in the early round? Because every single Brett Veach sycophant in the city will tell you about all those love make decisions late. He doesn't really hit the same success rate early in the draft or in free agency. Does this UDFA success rate undo the flops are an unfair term, the misses he has early?
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.